though amid all the smoking horror and diabolism of a sea fight, sharks will be seen longingly gazing up to the ship's decks like hungry dogs around a table where red meat is being carved, ready to bolt down every killed man that is tossed to them. And though while the valiant butchers over the deck table are thus cannibally carving each other's live meat with carving knives all gilded and tasseled, the sharks also, with their jewel-hilted mouths, are quarrelsomely carving away under the table at the dead meat, and though were you to turn the whole affair upside down, it would still be pretty much the same thing, that is to say, a shocking, sharkish business enough for all parties, and though sharks also are the invariable outriders of all slave ships crossing the Atlantic, systematically trotting alongside, to be handy in case a parcel is to be carried anywhere or a dead slave to be decently buried, and though one or two other like instances might be set down touching the set terms, places, and occasions when sharks do most socially congregate and most hilariously feast, yet there is no conceivable time or occasion when you will find them in such countless numbers and in gayer or more jovial spirits than around a dead sperm whale moored by night to a whale ship at sea. If you have never seen that sight, then suspend your decision about the propriety of devil worship and the expediency of conciliating the devil. But as yet Stubb heeded not the mumblings of the banquet that was going on so nigh him, no more than the sharks heeded the smacking of his own Epicurean lips. "Cook! Cook! Where's that old fleece?" he cried at length, widening his legs still further, as if to form a more secure base for his supper, and at the same time darting his fork into the dish, as if stabbing with his lance. "Cook! You, cook! Sail this way, cook!" The old black, not in any very high glee at having been previously aroused from his warm hammock at a most unseasonable hour, came shambling along from his galley, for like many old blacks there was something the matter with his knee pans, which he did not keep well scoured like his other pans. This old fleece, as they called him, came shuffling and limping along, assisting his step with his tongs, which after a clumsy fashion were made of straightened iron hoops. This old ebony floundered along, and in obedience to the word of command came to a dead stop on the opposite side of Stubb's sideboard, when with both hands folded before him and resting on his two-legged cane, he bowed his arched back still further over, at the same time sideways inclining his head, so as to bring his best ear into play. "Cook," said Stubb, rapidly lifting a rather reddish morsel to his mouth, "don't you think this steak is rather overdone? You've been beating this steak too much, Cook. It's too tender. Don't I always say that to be good, a whale steak must be tough? There are those sharks now, over the side. Don't you see they prefer it tough and rare? What a shindy they're kicking up. Cook, go and talk to them. Tell them they are welcome to help themselves civilly and in moderation, but they must keep quiet. Blast me if I can hear my own voice. Away, cook, and deliver my message. Here, take this lantern," snatching one from his sideboard. "Now then, go and preach to them." Sullenly taking the offered lantern, old Fleece limped across the deck to the bulwarks, and then, with one hand dropping his light low over the sea so as to get a good view of his congregation, with the other hand he solemnly flourished his tongs and, leaning far over the side, in a mumbling voice began addressing the sharks, while Stubb, softly crawling behind, overheard all that was said.
"Fellow critters, I's ordered here to say that you must stop that damn noise there. You hear? Stop that damn smacking of the lip. Master Stubb say that you can fill your damn bellies up to the hatchings, but by gol, you must stop that damn racket."
"Cook," here interposed Stubb, accompanying the word with a sudden slap on the shoulder. "Cook, why, damn your eyes, you mustn't swear that way when you're preaching. That's no way to convert sinners, Cook."
"Who dat? Then preach them yourself," sullenly turning to go. "No, Cook, go on, go on." "Well, then, beloved fellow critters."
"Right!" exclaimed Stubb approvingly. "Coax him to it. Try that." And Fleece continued.
"Though you is all sharks, and by nature very voracious, yet I say to you fellow critters that that voraciousness, top that damn slapping of the tail, how you think to hear, suppose you keep up such a damn slapping and biting there?"
"Cook!" cried Stubb, collaring him. "I won't have that swearing. Talk to him gentlemanly."